This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Give it to Turner. Going to the right side at the five. Michael Turner just down the line.
Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw. Look. Fires over the middle. Caught. Rush. Rush. Touchdown. Welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Derek Lynch. And he's got it. It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald.
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
We are getting set for a jam-packed edition of the Fantasy Lowdown here heading into the NFL's week number 11. My name is Brian Lowe, getting you set for the fantasy week ahead. That, of course, on Thursdays now begins just about 4 hours after we begin this show, so it's crunch time as you get your lineups going. We dealt with that last week, dealing with it again today. Carolina, Miami coming our way, and it's, listen, every game has big fantasy implications. But tonight, all kinds of stuff going on with, is D'Angelo Williams going to play? How does Miami recover from Ronnie Brown being out for the year? These are two quarterbacks. Do you start them? Chad Henne, Jake Delhomme, lots to talk about there. We've got all sorts of storylines in the NFL, especially around running backs. It seemed like last week was just the week of running back injuries, which really probably put a damper on probably 2 to 3 teams in your league, and you just hope it wasn't you. Now, in one of my leagues, one of my teams, guess who my two starting running backs are? I have two great starting running backs. It's been the strength of my team, Michael Turner and Cedric Benson. How about that? So I got
Boney Maroney.
You gave me a chance there, Jason, to grab my water, which was down the end. I thought I might be able to do it. Just a split second of dead air, huh?
Lawrence,
not bad.
Boney,
thanks.
Maroney.
I got it. Anyways, I have Michael Turner and Cedric Benson. So fortunately, I'm deep at running back. I already had Beanie Wells and Tim Hightower along with Darren McFadden. Now, Beanie Wells is now the perfect timing. He's now really a must-start, and I was able to sign Jason Snelling, who is Michael Turner's backup. So I think I'm well-equipped there, or reasonably well-equipped, but boy, was I hurting during the week or during Sunday when Michael Turner and Cedric Benson both go down. So we'll talk about all these running back injuries. Great guest we have coming our way near the end of the show, Eric Casilius from ESPN. He does all kinds of stuff at ESPN, a lot of college football, fills in on Mike and Mike in the morning, does some NFL stuff, and certainly some fantasy football stuff. He joined us last year. He was fantastic, and we're going to have him on again later in this hour. And taking your emails, of course, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. We've got 6 or 8 emails already in the inbox and want to hear from you. Definitely get your email in early in the show because I think we'll be talking to Eric pretty late in the show. So once we talk to him, there's a chance we might not be able to get your email in. So let's hear from you early on in this hour here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Now, I had really there's no other way to put it other than an embarrassing week in the B-Low League. Put it this way. When Jason wins and you lose, you know it's a bad week. Now, Jason and I play each other this week. Did you know that, Jason?
Showdown, buddy.
Head-to-head, baby. Head to head. Now, I am reeling. I am 5-4-1. I think I started out 3-0, maybe 4-1, something like that. I'm right in the middle of the pack. You're still in last place, but at 2-8, you're only one game behind SI Outtake. So you, you have the second longest win streak in the league. How about that? Really, I had a terrible week. I think only one team in our league had fewer points. Now, where do I begin? I mean, Matt Ryan was my quarterback. He wasn't terrible. And again, I go through the Matt Ryan, Matt Hasselbeck dilemma every week, and Matt Ryan was a solid choice. But my wide receivers, a combined 0 points, -1 for Marcus Colston and 1 for Mike Wallace. Not what I'm looking for. D'Angelo Williams, who went into the game questionable, gave me 12 points. That was great. Only 1 from LeSean McCoy, though. John Carlson, a guy who's up and down. I feel like I could probably do better at the tight end position. 9 points. But then my flex guys, a combined 3. Bernard Berrien and Tashard Choice. Now, Tennessee's defense, 19 points. It was a late pickup for me. Had 2 interceptions returned for a touchdown at the end of the game against Buffalo, so that was big. I ran into the Generators. Generators at 5-5. I'm slightly ahead of the Generators in the standings, but between LaDainian Tomlinson and his 2 touchdowns, Ronnie Brown, who scored before he got hurt, Tony Romo, Jericho Cotchery, some solid performances for the Generators that, it really, for me, it was these wide receivers that absolutely destroyed me. So that was that. Now, I have made one transaction today, actually, in fact, Jason, to prepare for our matchup. We talked about some of the running back injuries already in the NFL. Cedric Benson has gone down. He's probably or certainly not going to be playing this week. I picked up Bernard Scott, who is his replacement. Now, you might say, wait a minute, isn't Larry Johnson his replacement? The Bengals have said that he will be inactive this week. So Bernard Scott, at least for 1 week, is a guy I think I can really count on, especially, you know, I'm kind of short at the flex positions. Now, I'm dealing with D'Angelo Williams here. Now, the late word on D'Angelo Williams is that he will play tonight. He's questionable with a knee injury. So as you're setting your lineups right now, and if you have D'Angelo Williams, I think you can feel pretty confident having him in there. Coach John Fox acknowledged that Williams sat out practice on Wednesday, but he is full go. Even against the Dolphins' solid run defense, he's probably still a good candidate. Now, it's debatable. It is debatable as far as Jonathan Stewart, who is also questionable. He's also expected to play. It seems like it was never really much of a thought that he'd miss the game, but more D'Angelo Williams. So, Jason, I'm going with D'Angelo Williams tonight. I'm not sure if Jason has anyone going tonight, about to pull up the matchup right now, but boy, would I be happy if I can get D'Angelo Williams rolling early, rolling quickly, get a big head start tonight. That would be really make my day, make my weekend. And as of right now in the projections, I'm projected to win by 4 in this matchup. So there you have it from the B-Low League. It's pretty competitive, man. It is pretty competitive. Top two guys, 1-2, tied at 7-3, James and Wales and Kent Kamikaze. Then you got three teams at 6-4. You got me at 5-4-1, a 5-5. It's really you run the gamut. It's kind of like the NFL. So those are some of the topics. We've got a few people from our league who email us every week. We're going to take a look at Greg Rosenthal's rankings today. As well, and get your emails. Again, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the way to get in touch with us. Let's just run through some of these running back injuries. In my opinion, there's really the big four in the NFL last week as far as guys who went down with injuries, including three of the top 11 in the NFL in rushing. So that was big for this 1 week. You had Michael Turner. We talked about him. He had 100 yards in the game in the first half for Atlanta against Carolina. He goes down, and Jason Snelling is projected to be the guy that's going to get the bulk of the carries. Now, they play the Giants this week. In my opinion, the Giants are in desperation mode, and I really feel strongly that the Giants, coming off of their bye week, are going to win some games here and are going to be a factor in the heading into the playoffs. Are they going to make the playoffs? I don't know, but I think they're going to be a factor. And I think Jason Snelling, this is a tough one for him. I think Atlanta's much better at home than on the road. This will be a tough game for Jason Snelling, but all signs point to him getting the bulk of the carries, and I think he's a reasonable start if you've got a replacement issue. Cedric Benson in Cincinnati. Talked about Bernard Scott. I think Bernard Scott is definitely going to get the bulk of the carries for the Cincinnati Bengals. It looks like he'll start against the Raiders. Brian Leonard will get some time, and Larry Johnson, like I said, he's going to be inactive. I guess in an emergency situation, he could be active this week, but it looks like he will be inactive. So it's Bernard Scott with Brian Leonard as the backup in Cincinnati. That's the situation there at running back. If you're looking to fill someone in, I think Bernard Scott's definitely a viable candidate. Now in Seattle, you have Julius Jones who went down with an injury. Pretty certain he's out for this week. I don't know the exact status on what the latest is on him as far as practice, but it looks like Justin Forsett, what a 100-yard game last week. It looks like he, and a touchdown, looks like he's going to be the guy in Seattle. Again, this is a guy who I think is a solid start for Seattle this week. Seattle is, I always have a mental block here. Seattle has Minnesota. Minnesota, good run defense, but he's going to get the carries. He's going to get the carries, and to me, if you've got a running back who you know is going to be getting the bulk of the work, I think he's a reasonable guy to start, you know, if you need to. Then there's Miami. And Miami, that brings us back into tonight's game. Miami losing Ronnie Brown for the year. Of all these guys I mentioned, Ronnie Brown's the only one who's out for the year. And definitely a question I want to ask Eric Kasilius later on is, we know Ricky Williams is a surefire start in fantasy now. He already had been, but you figure he gets even more of a workload now. And the question to me, though, is Pat White. Do they use Pat White more now with Ricky Williams out? My guess is yes. I think in a big part of that is they have an inexperienced quarterback in Chad Henne. So there's no harm in bringing Pat White in. And if you pick Pat White up, you know, you get numbers. You might get some passing numbers. You probably can get some running numbers. So is he going to take everything, all of the workload of Ronnie Brown off his plate? I don't think so. But I think Pat White is certainly at the very least an intriguing guy to think about when you're talking about guys that you might be able to pick up if you're a team who has some of these running back injuries that you're dealing with. So I want to get your thoughts on all of those on all of those topics right there, all those running back topics. Now, at wide receiver, look, every single week we got quarterback. We got quarterback changes. This week, no different. Two in particular to point out that really, let's be honest, don't have huge fantasy implications unless you're desperate. In Buffalo, they make a coaching change. They also make a quarterback change. Again, Trent Edwards out, Ryan Fitzpatrick in, and Buffalo at Jacksonville this week. Not really an appealing matchup in my opinion. Oakland. Jamarcus Russell out. It's about time. Bruce Gradkowski in. Oakland is facing Cincinnati, hosting Cincinnati. Listen, I think there's no chance you want to start Bruce Gradkowski. But I kind of have an inkling that this could be a reasonable game for Oakland. I just think that they might be able to have a little bit of a spark. Running game has been doing well. Something to keep in mind. And then in Denver, it's not for sure yet that Kyle Orton's going to be out, but there's a chance, and that would mean Chris Sims comes in. He looked awful at the end of the game last week against Washington. They host San Diego and really just one of the bigger games in the NFL slate. So those are some quarterback situations to keep in mind as there are every week. Let's start getting to some emails now here on the Fantasy Lowdown Web Radio. At Patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us. And often when I go to emails and guys who are asking me, guys and gals who are asking me about who to start, who to sit, I look at some of the rankings. I use my own judgment, but I look at some of the rankings, including Greg Rosenthal at RotoWorld.com, who is great. So here we go. We start with Steve in Sydney. Hi, B-Lo and Doc. We should mention that. I need your wisdom again, B-Lo. Now, this is interesting, Doctor. This is from Steve. He opens his email with, hi, B-Lo and Doc, but the second line is, I need your wisdom again, B-Lo. So he gives you the courtesy of saying hello, but he knows.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
No. He knows where to go for his fantasy news. Fantasy info. It's not you,
Jason. I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
That's fine. Do I start Kellen Winslow or Brent Celek this week? And which two out of Beanie Wells, Steve Slayton, and Pierre Thomas would you start? Thanks, Steve.
I'm not the
Jason,
guy in the world.
I'm going to give you first crack. Kellen Winslow or Brent Celek?
I got to be honest, I wasn't listening because I was playing.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
Oh, there we go. So now we know why Steve in Sydney doesn't want your opinion. Okay.
Would you want my opinion with a 2-8 record?
No. All I want your opinion on is game day entertainment. And you were out there in Oakland. In Indy with me, and every time it was, you know, myself and Andy and all that, we were, I'm sure these guys brought it up during the PFW in progress.
I get abused.
Was that phone ringing? Was that just a coincidence? Yeah, well, every time the Indy game entertainment staff did something, anything, we all looked over to Jason. If it was something really good and creative, hey, Jason, what do you think? If it was something that flopped a la pyrotechnics fireworks landing on the field, we looked over at you and said, it's a good thing that doesn't happen to you.
But the thing is Andy has a passion, is the best way for me to say it, for a mascot on a scooter with a T-shirt cannon. It's all he's asked for.
A mascot on a scooter with a T-shirt cannon.
And they
cannon.
Put their mascot on some kind of an RV or something, and he thinks that's the greatest thing in the world.
You know what I bet he'd like
that's
better?
Entertaining.
A mascot on a motor, on a, what did you say, a mascot on a
scooter.
On a scooter with a Frisbee throwing it to a dog. I bet he'd like that even more.
I think if we just put a big plate of food in front of him in the press box,
he wouldn't know what's going
he'll
on.
He'll just eat that.
He wouldn't know what's going
stay
on.
Stay out of it.
I agree. Okay, let's get to this. Brent Celek, Kellen Winslow. That's a great. This is a great who to start, who to sit. And you know, here's what I think. I give the edge this week to Kellen Winslow. Not a huge Kellen Winslow guy. Tampa Bay is hosting New Orleans. Philadelphia is at Chicago. Now, Donovan McNabb threw the ball a ton the other day, a lot of yardage, but there's a lot of different weapons there with DeSean Jackson. Jeremy Maclin had a big game. Celek, of course, is in the mix. And it was a huge game for all of them. At Chicago, I don't see it happening. I think Kellen Winslow, I think this could be a good week for Kellen Winslow. New Orleans, you know, New Orleans has struggled against some teams, including St. Louis the other day, in the passing game. I think Kellen Winslow is one of fewer targets for Josh Freeman here in the Josh Freeman early days. In Greg Rosenthal's rankings, it's Brent Celek 4, it's Kellen Winslow 6. So it's one of those, you can go either way. And I've been saying about tight ends all year long, it's a deep crop of tight ends. You just don't know week to week. It's so hard to predict, in my opinion, which tight ends are going to have a big week, week after week. You've got some guys who, you know, like Dallas Clark, Antonio Gates, Vernon Davis this year, and Tony Gonzalez to a lesser extent this year, but pretty much Vernon Davis, pretty much Tony Gonzalez that you can count on to have decent weeks, decent to very good weeks. Guys like Kellen Winslow and Brent Celek, you can't count on each week. I'm just going to give the edge to Winslow here. I really think it's a close call, Steve, but you know, I think you could go either way. I'll give you edge Winslow. Which two of the three at running back would I start? Beanie Wells, Steve Slayton, Pierre Thomas. This one to me is no contest. It's Wells and Thomas. Love Beanie Wells this week at St. Louis. St. Louis, the 28th ranked run defense. Pierre Thomas at Tampa Bay, the 31st ranked run defense. I think these are two great matchup situations for these guys, and I just think Steve Slayton, he's just, listen, I'm not wild about Pierre Thomas in general. I just think he's getting the bulk of the carries. I like him at Tampa. Steve Slayton, heavily in the, you know, in the mix in Houston. They're playing against Tennessee, a Tennessee team that's doing really well right now. I think it's Wells and Thomas definitely ahead of Slayton. And as I look at Greg Rosenthal's rankings, he's got Beanie Wells at number 19. He's got Slayton at number 36. And then you got to go to Pierre Thomas was higher. Pierre Thomas 10. So Pierre Thomas 10. Beanie Wells, 19, and then Steve Slayton, 36. I don't know if it was that big of a gap, but I definitely go Wells, and I go Thomas there. Steve, thank you very much for checking in, Steve. Always appreciate it. Jeremy of the Minnesota Fighting Pike, we hear from Jeremy every week. Thank you again for your advice. I'm 7-3 and in first place in my division by 2 games. I'm in third place overall. Given my running back problems, I swooped in and picked up every running back I could get my hands on this week. And that leads me to my two questions. So, Jeremy, it sounds like you might have been in the same position as me with injuries at running back. So he's got to pick two of the following 6 running backs: Ryan Grant, Kevin Smith, Liddell Betts, Lawrence Maroney, Jason Snelling, and Jamal Charles. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with elimination. I'm going to eliminate Jamal Charles for Kansas City against Pittsburgh. Decent, reasonably intriguing guy. Just don't even think about it at Pittsburgh. I just don't like it. Pittsburgh's got the number one ranked rush defense in the league. Kansas City's offense is sputtering. When an offense overall is sputtering, it just doesn't bode well for the running back. He might get a bunch of carries. I just don't think he's going to do much with them. Eliminate Jamal Charles. I'm going to eliminate Lawrence Maroney from contention here because I think there's a good chance Sammy Morris plays. And if Sammy Morris plays, I think at best it's a split of carries in this first week, but I'm thinking that in crunch time, especially because of what happened with Lawrence Maroney fumbling at the goal line the other day, it's going to be a while before Lawrence Maroney gets goal line carries as long as there's another option available. Now, is Lawrence Maroney a threat to break one? Absolutely he is if he gets the carries. There's definitely that chance. But I think starting this week, I really feel strongly that Sammy Morris will be back at least in a limited basis, and I think that limited basis would certainly be goal line. So I'm eliminating Lawrence Maroney. That leaves us with Ryan Grant, Kevin Smith, Liddell Betts, and Jason Snelling. My one lock among these four, I'm going Kevin Smith. Facing Cleveland, Cleveland is a joke. They're a 30th-ranked run defense. Kevin Smith, up and down. He's definitely an up-and-down guy, but in this case, in this week, I definitely start him, and I don't think twice. He's listed at 13th in Greg Rosenthal's rankings. Love Kevin Smith this week. Then we get some intrigue. Ryan Grant for Green Bay against San Fran, ranked 15th. Liddell Betts for Washington at Dallas, ranked 25th. And then Jason Snelling, filling in for Michael Turner, ranked 28th. I like Betts. I like what Betts did last week. I just think they are too much of an up-and-down team, and on the road, I don't like it. I wouldn't really feel too strongly about Betts. I think Snelling is extremely intriguing, but like I said earlier with the Giants, I think the Giants are going to have a huge week. I think they're going to be on a roll now. I'm going to lean toward Ryan Grant here. I just think he's the best among those backs that you're picking from there. Going against San Fran at home, San Fran, good run defense. They've done well. They've done real well this year. But I think Green Bay, I think they're going to run the ball a bit. And I'm going to go with Ryan Grant and Kevin Smith there. But again, Jeremy, I eliminate Charles. I eliminate Maroney. I go with Grant and Smith. And then beyond them, I think Betts and Snelling are intriguing, but not quite in my top two of your guys there. Jeremy goes on to say, I need to get some insurance at wide receiver since I have no backups at that position. Moving forward, which one to two running backs would you waive to make room for wide receivers on my roster? One will be Maroney since Sammy Morris and Fred Taylor are coming back soon. Yes, that's what I would agree with. I'd say I'd give the edge toward cutting Maroney over Charles just because I think Charles, being their number one back going forward, is going to have more opportunities against some better matchups. Now, Jeremy goes on to give me some good compliments, much appreciated, and thinks that I should be getting lunch more often from PFW listeners. Now, if you're just joining us now and today, Paul, who I'm sure we're going to hear from a little later on, bought lunch today for the PFW in Progress guys and included me because he feels so good about his fantasy team and the help I've given him. So Jeremy here is saying, you know, more listeners should buy me lunch. I'm not going to go that far. Much appreciated, but listen, I can handle my own lunch. I'll get it taken care of. Don't want you guys to have to go out of your way, but I appreciate the thought for sure. Okay, next email we've got here, this is from Harry in Las Vegas. I've got a choice this week of starting Jay Cutler against the Eagles or Vince Young against the Texans. Due to Cutler's performance of late, last week only two fantasy points, I'm leaning towards starting Vince Young, even though he doesn't have as high of an upside. What do you think? Also, should I start my best running back, D'Angelo Williams, tonight? Last I've seen, he's listed as questionable. I also have Maroney, Choice, and Tashard Choice and Felix Jones. Which two would you go with? I took your advice and picked up the Bengals defense off waivers, and I'm sitting the Saints for the next 3 weeks. Thanks, Harry in Las Vegas. Love the Bengals starting this week, three straight games. They've got Oakland this week, Detroit and Cleveland coming up. Like them a lot. Okay. The Jay Cutler, Vince Young question. Jay Cutler has looked terrible. He looked absolutely atrocious last week. Vince Young has been intriguing. He was really one of my primo sleepers last week, and I'm going to stick with him. I think Vince Young at Houston, I think there's more of an opportunity, once again, for the surging Tennessee Titans to do some damage against Houston. Houston, a very mediocre defense, and it's one that I think Vince Young can capitalize on. You know, it's his hometown. I think he plays well there. I think he does a good job there. And Jay Cutler, just don't trust him. I mean, does he have big games in him, including here against Philadelphia? Yeah, he does. But do you want to be starting him when he has another 4-5 interception stinker? I don't think so. I think ride the Vince Young train. It has been, I think, tremendous. You know, hovering around 200 yards passing, threw one touchdown pass the other day. Not a ton of rushing yardage the other day. I was a little surprised by that, but still pretty good nonetheless. I'm going with Vince Young there. Now, the other question there about the running backs. Yes, start D'Angelo Williams. It looks like he's going to go. They play tonight. They play in about 4 hours. I say go with him. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to play a role, and I definitely start him, especially with your other options there. Maroney, Choice, and Felix Jones. Don't go with Jones. I'm sorry, don't go with Maroney. With Choice and Jones, I've been a little perplexed by the Dallas running game this year. I thought for sure when all three of them are healthy, it's Marion Barber getting most of the carries, then Felix Jones, then Tashard Choice. They've been healthy, and it's been sort of a back and forth. You know, it's hard to determine on a week-to-week basis which guy is going to be the guy that week. And, you know, they all had low yardage totals last week when they all stunk against Green Bay. I'd give the edge toward Choice among those three. So I'd go D'Angelo Williams and Choice, Harry. Thanks for emailing in. Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. We're getting close to about halfway through. We've got Eric Casilius of ESPN and ESPN.com. He's going to join us in about 15, 20 minutes from now, take us through the home stretch of the show. And, you know, we've got a lot more emails. We want to hear from you here at webradio@patriots.com. We'll be right back right after this.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Brian Lowe taking your emails. Before we get back to the emails, just want to read a couple things from Jamie Eisenberg, CBSSports.com, mentioning a couple guys that we've mentioned already in the show. Here's what he has to say about one Jay Cutler. Bust alert. No chance I would use Cutler this week. And as I said after his five interceptions against San Fran last week, there are only two times to use Cutler as a starting fantasy option the rest of the season. That's week 13 against St. Louis and week 17 at Detroit. And even those are questionable based on his inconsistent play. He might throw five touchdowns against the Eagles, but he'll do it on my bench because I'm not getting burned by this guy again. He only has four games with more touchdowns than interceptions this year, and only one of those came in his past five games. He has six touchdowns and 12 interceptions over that span, and you just can't trust him right now. Cutler is just too risky to start in any fantasy league. There you go. I don't know if I was that strong when we had a start him or sit him, Jay Cutler, Vince Young a little while ago, but wow, hard to disagree there. Here's what he says about Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith has been dealing with a sophomore slump. After a promising start to 2009, Smith has struggled. He had double digits in fantasy points in three of his first four games and appeared on his way toward an outstanding season, but a shoulder injury and tough matchups against Pittsburgh, Green Bay, and Minnesota has ruined his production the past five games. He has two fumbles over that span and topped out at nine fantasy points against the Steelers. Well, Smith is about to see his production get rejuvenated, and he's our start of the week. It always helps to face the Browns. Cleveland is number 30 in run defense, and nice running backs have reached double digits in fantasy points against the Browns. I'm sorry, nine, including their past five opponents. Marshawn Lynch, Rashard Mendenhall, Ryan Grant, Matt Forte, and Ray Rice. So there you go. Kevin Smith, a start of the week, and Jay Cutler, a bust alert. That's from Jamie Eisenberg. Back to the emails. Nico in the Philippines. Hi, B-Low. Thanks for your help last week. I missed listening live, and I wasn't able to adjust my wide receiver roster on time. Happened to sit Jeremy Maclin over Johnny Knox, which was playing on a Thursday game. Luckily, I still won with big games from Jonathan Stewart and Jamal Charles. I'm now in a tie at 5-5, but still in seventh spot due to a point lead by my previous opponent. This week, I'm having problems with my running backs. Who isn't, huh? We're playing on a two running back and one flex running back league, and since I have Brandon Jacobs versus Atlanta and Jonathan Stewart versus Miami starting, I still need to decide which one of the following three I need to start as a flex. Jamal Charles against Pittsburgh, Justin Forsett against Minnesota, Sean Green against the Pats. Both Charles and Forsett have a tough matchup with the first and second ranked run D in Pittsburgh and Minnesota, but they will be the featured back this week. Green will be sharing with Thomas Jones. Thanks for your help again. Pretty much agree with what you're saying there, Nico. I don't think Sean Green is a capable start. And certainly, I understand what you're saying about the matchups. You're right. Sean Green, you can't start him because he's not the main guy. Jamal Charles and Justin Forsett are. I'd go with Forsett in this case. Even though they're playing Minnesota, I understand that. I just don't like Jamal Charles against Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is going to come out and really destroy the Kansas City. I think Seattle could keep it close with Minnesota, believe it or not, which means Forsett might get more of a look. I like Forsett among those three, Nico, so hopefully that helps you out right there. Todd in Jackson, Wyoming. Below, the arrogant bastards won again. Sad to say the Pats can't say that. Staying in first place. I'm going to run my starting roster by you, see if you think I should change it. Okay, real quick. Quarterback, Romo. Wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Wallace. Running backs, Rashard Mendenhall and Chris Johnson. So far, pretty good. Wide receiver, tight end flex, Donnie Avery against Arizona. Todd says, I dropped Malcolm Floyd for Avery. I know he plays for St. Louis. Avery can have more big playability as he's their only main target they have, or should I start Jason Witten? I agree with you on Avery. Avery scored, was it once or twice last week? Bulger coming around a little bit, like it against Arizona. I think that's a good call there, Avery. Don't think I like Jason Witten all that much against Washington. And then kicker, Ryan Longwell. Now, defense, Arizona. Todd says, I dropped both defenses I had, the Colts and Jets, and picked up San Fran as well. So he's got San Fran and Arizona. They play easier schedules with Arizona playing at home against the Rams in week 11, 16, while also playing at the Lions in week 15, plus playing at the Titans, home versus the Vikings, at the 49ers. Here we go. San Fran plays Packers, Jaguars, Seahawks, Cardinals, Eagles, Lions. I feel this is more of a gamble, but both Arizona and San Fran are trying to finish out to make the playoffs. Also play the Lions and Rams a bit each. You feel this is a solid move? Love the idea of playing the matchups for defense if you don't have one of the top, you know, five or seven defenses. So I like the idea there. And I think those are reasonable teams just because of those matchups. You may have some holes you have to fill, but I like it. And this week, benching Adai versus the Ravens, Jamal Charles against the Steelers, Jason Witten against the Packers, Steven Gostkowski against the Jets, San Fran D, and Flacco. Lastly, I'm looking at, so basically, love the lineup there. I mean, who you should put in there? No, you definitely don't put Joseph Addai ahead of Mendenhall or Chris Johnson. Those two are must starts. Same with Jamal Charles. Jason Witten, no. If you don't have a defined tight end position as wide receiver tight end, I like Donnie Avery, believe it or not. Your defenses, Arizona at St. Louis, for sure. As opposed to San Fran against Green Bay, and so I like the team. I like what you got there. Now here's where we got to talk. Todd, he says, lastly, I'm looking at picking up Seattle defense after they play Minnesota this week, mainly because they play St. Louis in week 12 and Tampa in week 15. I want to drop either Gostkowski or Longwell for them. Which kicker has the best upside? Should I get rid of Jamal Charles and roll with Chris Johnson, Adai, and Mendenhall for two running back spots to go with Arizona, San Fran, Seattle playing matchup weekly? All right. Bottom line is, do not carry two kickers, Todd. I don't know what you're thinking there. Yeah, they're two great kickers. I'm not advising you to cut one. See if you can trade one. But if you have to cut one. You're wasting space. They're both very good, but I think, you know, Longwell is the better guy. He plays most of his games in a dome versus Gostkowski, who down the stretch, yeah, they got New Orleans in a dome. They're going to be at Houston, but they've got Buffalo. They're going to be in Buffalo. They're going to be outside home a couple times in December. You know, stick with Longwell. Try to trade Gostkowski. That's the bottom line there. Now, like the idea of picking up Seattle, like the idea of the matchups, going with three teams. I mean, I just think you can go with two teams, whichever two you think are the best. And then if you have a hole to fill, try to pinpoint it in advance. And if you need to carry three defenses for 1 week, fine. Try to limit that, because it's a lot of defenses wasting space there. Don't get rid of Jamal Charles. I like having Chris Johnson, Mendenhall, Adai, and Charles, because you might use those guys. You want to be deep. You saw what happened with some running backs around the league the other day. You want to be deep there. So, Todd, great stuff right there. Just don't carry. I mean, you think you're going to carry two kickers and three defenses? That's, you know, wasting a little too much space there, Todd. So appreciate the email. Good luck with those moves. Cormac from Ireland chimes in, as he always does. Hey, Brian, firstly, apologies for my girlfriend for beating you last week. Well, I know. The generators beat me. I had an embarrassing week. At least she has Ronnie Brown on her roster, so you can now make fun of her for that with him done for the year. Well, I'm not going to make fun of her now. She beat me with him. No, that's a fair and square. On to my questions. Fair enough. Listen, I lost bad. I lost bad. Anyways, on to the questions here, Jason. We got Eric.
She beat me, too.
That's true. That's true. No time to waste. We got Eric Casillas coming on pretty soon. Got a few more emails here. So from Cormac, in a points-based league, not head-to-head, I'm in second place and need to catch up by about 100 points to the leader. Might be a tall order. Anyhow, please keep that in mind when viewing this trade. Quarterback, he's got Romo and Hasselbeck. Wide receiver, Sidney Rice, the surging Sidney Rice. Larry Fitzgerald, Vincent Jackson, Braylon Edwards, and Devin Hester. I'd love to get a better QB and have been offered Rodgers and Mason, I assume Derek Mason, for Romo and Fitzgerald. The question is the upgraded QB worth it? If I lose Fitz, I'll play Edwards, Hester, or Mason in the third spot with Rice and Vincent Jackson always in the other two. I'm tempted to pull the trigger as I think Fitz is a great sell high with Bolden back now. Plus, I don't 100% trust Warner for the rest of the season. What do you think, Brian? Cormac from Ireland. First glance here, Cormac, don't like the trade. I don't think it's a big enough upgrade, Rodgers over Romo and Hasselbeck. Rodgers is the better guy. Don't get me wrong. He's better than Romo, better than Hasselbeck. But I think, I know I've thought highly of Hasselbeck over the course of the season. Romo's kind of up and down. I think between the two, you can get by at running at quarterback. I understand you want to have a better quarterback there, and Rodgers would be better. Just don't like the Fitzgerald to Mason drop-off. And I think, I know what you're saying about Fitzgerald with Bolden coming back. Steve Breston's banged up. I still think Larry Fitzgerald is elite enough that you can't trade him. I see you're saying sell high. They play St. Louis this week. What an appealing matchup right there. I don't make the trade. I understand how unsettling it is to have Romo and Hasselbeck, and you got this opportunity to have Aaron Rodgers in there. But I think Aaron Rodgers is a little too up and down for my liking as well. Don't love the trade. I think you got great depth at wide receiver there. Fitzgerald and Jackson for sure. Sidney Rice, 200 yards the other day. That's a great top three. I think Edwards is going to have some decent games out there. He's not a terrible guy to start in a pinch. And then Devin Hester as well. I'm leaning toward not making that trade, Cormac. But I do, listen, I've had some terrible quarterback play in the past in my fantasy leagues. I know what it's like to have a great quarterback because I've had Drew Brees in the past. There's something to be said for that. I just don't think I make that trade. But it's a good one. It's an interesting one. And I appreciate you bringing it up. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Here on the Fantasy Lowdown on patriots.com radio, we're rolling through emails, but we're going to pause for a second from the emails because we've got Eric Casillas on the line from ESPN and ESPN.com. Eric, you joined us last year. It was fantastic. We appreciate you joining us again. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me back. I certainly appreciate it. Love being on.
Absolutely. And you bring great stuff. I know you're bouncing around between college football, pro football, fantasy. You and everybody else over there, you guys do a great job. So we want to bounce some questions your way and get right into it. First, hey, love these Thursday night games. We have our show here from 4 to 5 on Thursday afternoons, so leading right into some Thursday night games, and kind of an intriguing one tonight with Carolina and Miami. And I guess the first question I want to ask you is about Miami. Ronnie Brown out for the year, and I think Pat White becomes this really intriguing guy, both for the Dolphins and their actual play on the field and in fantasy. What do you want to tell us? What can you tell us about the Miami running back situation and what it means for Pat White?
I actually love Ricky Williams much more, and I think that Pat White becomes a little more of a player in deeper leagues. But now I look at Ricky Williams and say, he went from a guy who's somewhere in the 20s or maybe even the 30s, depending upon the matchup, to now a guy who is in the top 10. I actually think I ranked him 5th or 6th this week among all running backs. Look, he used to, you know, burn the hippie lettuce pretty good, but right now he's got his life turned around, he has his career turned around, and he can turn your fantasy season around. I'm amazed in how many 10-team leagues or 8-team leagues where he's not even owned yet. he's a guy that can be, I would sprint to the waiver wire and get him if there was anywhere that he wasn't owned. I think he's the guy that really is the beneficiary of the Ronnie Brown going on IR.
Well, that would be incredible if he wasn't owned, because he'd been having, like you said, a great year. He and Ronnie Brown both having really good years. And I see on your rankings, you had him eighth. A couple other guys on ESPN.com, Matthew Berry had him at six. So definitely very high up there. But, you know, this Miami situation, this was quite a weekend as far as running backs going down. Michael Turner, Cedric Benson, Julius Jones, and Ronnie Brown. Among these guys and their replacements, Jason Snelling, Bernard Scott, we've heard about, Justin Forsett, and obviously Ricky Williams is a must-start. Who among these other guys do you think are some intriguing possibilities to pick up if these Michael Turners and Cedric Bensons miss some time? Do you think highly of the Justin Forsetts and Jason Snellings and Bernard Scotts?
It comes down to, do you need a one-week replacement? Do you need a couple of weeks to get into the playoffs? Or are you looking long-term? I like Forsett for the rest of the year among those kind of lower-level guys you just mentioned. But I like Snelling the best for this week. Seattle, Forsett's going to have to deal with that Williams wall. Minnesota on the road. That's a tough match. That's a tough ask for him this week. Scott's a nice little play in Cincinnati. They play Oakland. Oakland's putrid against the run. They're giving up about 160 per game right now. They're a mess. They've benched Jamarcus Russell. This team is going south. They have one eye on the door and another eye on the clock. He's a really nice play this week as well. So there are certain guys that are this week guys, like Scott, like Snelling, and there are certain guys that are rest of the year guys for me, like Forsett. So if you're saying 1 week, I'm not going to take Forsett. If you're saying for the rest of the year, I'll go to Seattle. I love their playoff schedule.
There you go. That's right. So, yeah, you got to start looking. You know, you got a fantasy league going right now, and you're starting to look, I'm in playoff contention. You got to start looking at week 15, week 16,
yeah.
Which are certainly interesting. Now, some of these quarterback changes that we've seen, do they even matter, Eric? I mean, you know, Buffalo makes a quarterback change. They've got some decent wide receiving weapons. You've talked about how terrible Oakland is, so you figure that doesn't even matter. Denver might need to have Chris Sims in there. You look at some of these teams, does it even matter? I mean, I guess, you know, these quarterbacks might not be startable, but how do you assess, you know, like a Buffalo quarterback change and how it impacts Terrell Owens and Lee Evans and their running game? Any thoughts on some of these quarterback changes we're seeing this week and what it might mean for their teams?
It doesn't matter in Buffalo. It doesn't matter in Oakland. Nothing matters in Cleveland. I have never in all of my years of fantasy seen a team more devoid of fantasy talent than Cleveland right now. I mean, it's the all-time low. But there was one team you mentioned, and that's Denver.
Yep.
And it does matter if you have Brandon Marshall. Because right now, this is a hot wide receiver. Great game last week.
Yep.
Starting to feel it a little bit with Kyle Orton. I don't want to change there. If I'm 5-5 and need a win this week to make the playoffs, and I have Brandon Marshall, I'm sending all the voodoo dolls or whatever I need, or snake ointments, whatever I need to send out to Denver to get Kyle Orton in there, because they're in a groove right now. That's the one exception to the rule with these quarterback injuries and guys who could be affected. I think Brandon Marshall could be affected.
Interesting stuff, definitely right there.
And especially with them playing San Diego, and San Diego right now being a hot defense that is blitzing effectively and putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback with Sean Phillips and Merriman, I would not want to see a first-time guy trying to click with a new big-time receiver with San Diego coming off the edge right now. I'd hope Orton plays if I had Denver guys.
Interesting, very interesting stuff. Another quarterback to mention, you know, a team that's surging is Tennessee, and Vince Young comes in at a point where they're 0-6, I think it was, and you know, everything's going downhill for them. I've found him to be kind of an intriguing guy, and we've gotten a lot of emails, a lot of people asking, you know, what do we consider Vince Young at this point? He's certainly not a must-start quarterback, of course. They're playing against Houston. It's his hometown. He's gotten a little bit of a groove going. Not great stats, but where do you see Vince Young right now, fantasy-wise?
I see him as a bad backup quarterback. He's a bad number two. If you're in a 10-team league, he's going to be between that 14 and 20 spot. I mean, he's a guy that's worth having on your roster as a backup, but he's not a guy that you can live and die with every week. And this would be the week to play him, as you mentioned. Houston gives up a boatload of points to opposing fantasy quarterbacks. They're one of the five worst, I believe, in terms of the rankings of teams that give up points to fantasy quarterbacks. So if he doesn't do it this week, he's never going to do it. But I can't live in. I mean, if you said to me we had to play Vince Young for four straight weeks, I'd be petrified.
And I look at your rankings and you guys, the average that you guys have on ESPN.com is him at 21. You actually, among the four, had him at the highest 19, but that's still not really startable. We're talking.
Yeah, and what we do is we rank players twice a week. So we rank them early in the week, and then we rank them again. Our new rankings will come out tomorrow. So those will change a little bit. And with, for example, you know, depending upon what happens in tonight's game or late news we get on injuries like Kyle or that type of thing, I expect that Vince Young will end up somewhere, as I said, in that 14 to 20 range. I'm in the lower there. But if he's at 17 when we're all said and done, I think that's probably about right.
Sounds good. Yeah, Eric Casilius from ESPN, ESPN.com, ESPN Radio joining us. Now, we are here on Patriots.com radio, so a lot of interest, of course, in the local team. And, you know, Patriots-Colts the other night, setting aside what happened at the end of the game, it was a fantasy football dream with the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, Dallas Clark, Joseph Addai scoring a couple times. We've got Patriots-Jets coming up this week. Wondering your perspective on if we can expect, you know, Randy Moss was really shut down by the Jets in week one. He's had a couple of not-so-good appearances against the Jets in the last couple of years. Where do you assess Randy Moss this week, coming off a huge game, but going against a cornerback, potentially one-on-one against a cornerback who has done pretty well against him?
We call it the Darrell Revis effect, and he's been great against other teams' number one receivers. And as you mentioned, did a great job against Randy Moss first time around. Look, if you have Randy Moss, you're not sitting.
Right.
Okay, you're going to play Randy Moss either way. But I do think that, by and large, year in, year out, of the two games a year, he will be more pedestrian against the Jets than he will be against other teams. Now, does that mean that he can't break out, catch a touchdown, a nice little 10-yard, you know, over-the-middle slant or one, or break it for a big play and a slip and fall? Of course, he's Randy Moss. He can do that. But I would say week in, week out, year in, year out against the Jets, that's not the best matchup for Moss.
Okay. Now, and how does that affect Wes Welker? Wes Welker didn't play against the Jets earlier in the season. Now, he's not necessarily known to be a touchdown machine, which, of course, is important in fantasy. Where do you see him this week?
You know, we always talk this. We talk about this when we have our meetings and our rankings and what we do. And we talk about PPR leagues, which is point per reception leagues. And it's about 50-50 now. Standard ESPN scoring is not PPR, but I always, I'm one of the advocates that say we have to make it PPR, and that's how we should rank. It's about 50-50 in leagues. And Wes Welker is the single biggest reason, or at least example, why. There's nobody that is a more different player in PPR versus non-PPR than Wes Welker. If you get a point for every reception, Wes Welker is just money. He's probably the fifth or sixth guy on the board. If it's just yards and touchdowns, you mentioned the lack of touchdowns. He's not a 1,500-yard-a-year guy. He goes way down. I do think against the Jets this weekend, he'll catch a bunch of balls. Look at what Julian Edelman did when they played earlier. Wes Welker's a better Julian Edelman. I think Wes Welker could catch 8, 9, 10 balls this week in his sleep.
Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. And his, you know, he's had 6 to 8 catches or more in pretty much every game he's been healthy. So
that's why he, and he's done it probably for 3 years it's been that way. Yeah. It's just point, which is why if you're in a PPR league, Wes Welker is immensely valuable. And honestly, I think PPR leagues are probably better leagues. They're probably more accurate leagues for what a guy gives you. I think it's a better indication for the receiver.
Sure, yeah, add that extra dimension in there. Now, on the Jets side, you know, Mark Sanchez up and down. You know, he's got a 5-interception game on his docket. You know, he's had some where he throws 2 touchdowns and no picks. Their running game is always good. Do you see this as being more of a run-heavy game for the Jets? I mean, that's their strength. Or do you think a guy like Braylon Edwards or Dustin Keller, who's had a lot of impact against the Patriots, maybe Jericho Cotchery, they could do some damage? Where do you see the strength for the Jets being this week?
Well, obviously, first and foremost, it's Thomas Jones. But second, go look at Dustin Keller's last 2 weeks. Starting to find a nice group. You mentioned, does a pretty good job against the Patriots. When you have a hot tight end going into a good matchup for a tight end with a young quarterback who's going to need to be bailed out in certain spots, I think it's Thomas Jones 1. I think it's Dustin Keller 2.
Absolutely. Very interesting stuff right there. Patriots-Jets coming up on Sunday. A couple other specific guys I just want to ask you about that we've gotten emails about and people are interested in knowing. Jay Cutler. Boy, the Chicago Bears and their fans have not exactly gotten what they bargained for this first year, coming off a 5-interception disaster. Where do you see Jay Cutler right now? Chicago going up against, why am I having a mental block right now?
Philly.
Chicago.
Philly
this week. Where do you see Jay Cutler?
Look, players, at the end of the day, when you play fantasy football, they are stocks. And what's the whole point of the stock market? You buy low and you sell high. That's really the only rule. Right now, to me, Jay Cutler is a good buy low candidate. You could probably pick him up for 50 cents on the dollar.
Sure.
And if I can give you 50 cents and get back a dollar, I'll do that every time. People are just killing this guy. But when you go look at his year, and he's had some big games, and you look at some of the matchups they have down the road, especially with some of the run defenses they're going to play, and the fact that Matt Forte caught 8 balls in that game against San Francisco,
yep,
and Devin Hester caught 7 balls in that game against San Francisco, and Greg Olsen, who caught 3 touchdowns the week before, caught 7 more balls against San Francisco. These were a couple of slip and falls, fluky plays, and awful decisions by Jay Cutler. But that's not going to happen every week. If I could pick up Jay Cutler from a guy who's disgusted and has him, I would.
Make a great point on the buy low, sell high, and exactly what you said. And Jay Cutler coming off a terrible game, maybe you can sneak him into your roster via trade. Tonight, Carolina, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, both listed as questionable. It appears as though both are going to play. If people are setting their lineups right now and they've got about 3 hours before they need to make a decision, where do these guys stand? It sounds like both are going to play. Are they both must-starts?
I think they're both going to go. I think you have to evaluate them just as you would have evaluated them going into last week. I mean, obviously, when you say must-start with a guy like Jonathan Stewart, it depends what your other options are.
Yep.
There's no team where he's a must-start every week.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Frank Gore and LaDainian Tomlinson, you're not going to start Jonathan Stewart. But he's certainly a guy that you can't say, well, I got to stay away from because of the injury. I think he's about what he was last week on the injury level.
Interesting. Very interesting stuff, Eric Casilius. Real quickly, I just want to ask you alluded to, you know, you guys with ESPN.com and ESPN, you sit down and go through your rankings. You make your rankings twice a week. You have meetings talking about all this stuff. Can you give us a real quick, a little bit of an insight into what goes through the course of a week? Games happen on Sunday. You start getting some analysis of those games. You start getting your rankings up on Tuesday or whatever. Can you give us a little bit of a insight into what your week is like from a fantasy football perspective?
Here's what I do. Let's take it from Monday morning because that really starts the new week.
Yep.
Monday morning, I pull out all the box scores. They print all the box scores for me. I go through the box scores because you can't watch every play of every game, obviously, and there will be things you may have missed. Then what I do after looking at the box scores on Monday is I print out the targets. I want to see the targets. I like guys who are getting targeted in the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
If you had 5 catches and 5 targets, to me you're not as valuable as a guy who had 5 catches and 9 targets or 11 targets because I like it when they throw you the ball. So I look at my targets, I look at my box scores. Tuesday, I rank players. We rank 25 quarterbacks, 50 running backs, 50 wide receivers, 25 tight ends, 25 kickers, and every single defense that's going to play that week. What I like to look at on ESPN.com, we have this little feature called Points Against. So I can click tight ends, and I can see, oh, do you know the Minnesota Vikings give up the most points to opposing tight ends? You think, oh, that's a good defense. Oh, my tight ends playing Minnesota. It's a terrible matchup. No, that's the best matchup
for
your tight end.
Yep.
And the Eagles are second. So it's not necessarily record or where defense is ranked, depending upon position, on which team. So I'll look and say, okay, if Houston, for example, I'll just throw it out because we talked about this, Houston gives up more points opposing quarterbacks than anybody else. Oh, where's Vince Young this week? Okay, I'm going to bump him up a few notches and see where I can slot him because he's a guy I can sell. So I do that every position by every team to get my rankings in. Then Wednesday, they usually send me a column and say, all right, here are the rankings that we want to challenge you on, and I have to defend my rankings in a column called Called Out on ESPN.com. Thursday, I review the matchups. We get a packet on Thursday, and I read about every game and all the stats and the trends, and there'll be 10 or 12 things that jump out to me. And then Thursday night, after I play hoops with my brothers tonight, I will come home and I will re-rank my players, and those will be up tomorrow. Saturday, I prepare because I do my radio show on Saturday, and I know I'm going to get a bunch of fantasy questions, so I review it again. Sunday morning is, of course, the show. So we write the show. I write the show on Saturday nights. We do the show on Sunday. I watch the game on Sunday, and Monday it starts all over again.
Well, you guys do a fantastic job, and listen, fantasy football, it's amazing how quickly the season is going. I can't believe we're already in week 11, but love hearing the way you guys go through a week, because what's great about fantasy football is it all happens on Sunday. It's not, you know, you don't have to check your lineup every day if you're a casual fantasy football player, but hearing what kind of goes through the week for you and other guys at ESPN.com and ESPN and ESPN Radio is really interesting. Eric, can't thank you enough. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us and taking some questions, and good luck with all the ESPN, ESPN.com content this week and with your teams as well, and maybe we'll talk to you again down the road.
Anytime you need me. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Eric Casilius from ESPN joining us here on the Fantasy Lowdown. It was great to hear from him. And those guys really really do a good job. They have rankings every week, and we just heard from him how they kind of go through it. And Eric himself is a real impressive guy because you hear him sometimes on Mike and Mike in the Morning. They do ESPN. He does ESPN Radio. He does College Football Live on ESPN, Fantasy Football Radio on Sunday morning. So we appreciate him joining us. Before we go, I just want to make sure we get one more. We had one more email. I just want to get in real quick. Emailed us just before Eric came on. This is from Shannon in Seattle. Bilo, hey, I wanted to give you a shout-out in regards to your mention 2 weeks ago about Cincinnati's D. You went over their upcoming schedule, Lions, Browns, Oakland, and I now have them in all three leagues I'm in. Heck, I even traded Sam Fran D and Nate Washington for the Cincy D in one of them. From week to week in each league this year, I just peeped out favorable matchups and picked up a different D. So having a solid D like Cincy for three straight weeks is promising against those cupcake offenses. Kudos. And Shannon, I might add that last week against Pittsburgh, Cincinnati was a fantastic D, especially if it's Cincy D and special teams, Bernard Scott with a long touchdown reception. A question at the running back position. My main two starters are Steven Jackson, Rashard Mendenhall. I need to fill my flex position with either a die at Baltimore, Beanie Wells at St. Louis, Stewart against the Finns tonight. Shannon, no question about that one. This
Mendenhall
is an easy one.
Is ridiculous.
That's a must start, though, Jason. It's Beanie Wells. Don't like a die against Baltimore. You mentioned an injury. Jonathan Stewart tonight. Beanie Wells at St. Louis, must start. Other question at tight end, Carlson, Keller, or Shanko? Interesting question there. I'm probably, my edge is to Dustin Keller against the Patriots. It's just a good matchup. He's done well against the Patriots. Now, Carlson, middle of the pack against Minnesota, but we just heard, I think what Eric was saying was Minnesota gives up the most points to tight ends. Keep that in mind. And then Shanko also against Seattle. That's an interesting one, but in my opinion, I'm going to lean toward Dustin Keller against the Patriots. So, Shannon, we appreciate you emailing in. We appreciate everyone emailing into the Fantasy Lowdown right here on Patriots.com radio, web radio at Patriots.com. Make sure you stay posted on Patriots.com. We'll fill you in on what our schedule is going to be like next week, Thursday being Thanksgiving. We've got to sort out some stuff on when we're going to air the show, but there will be a show. There will be a show, a fantasy Lowdown. We're rolling here with a lot of emails. Many thanks to Eric Casilius for joining us. Send us emails all at any point during the week. We will get to them 4 to 5 Eastern on Thursdays right here on the Fantasy Lowdown.